Before I get started, I just want to talk to you a little bit. There's a reason that each person is here today. You know, it's not by chance or by circumstance that anyone is here today. Myself, Mark, anyone else. You know, God has called us to be here today. God desired us to be here today, and He has something for each and every person here today. Let's pray. Father God, I just come before You, Lord, as a humble servant, Lord God, just willing to be Your vessel, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that You would hide me behind the cross, Lord God, and that You would be seen, Lord, and magnified. Lord, I just ask that Your words would flow. Lord, that You would give me the right words to speak, Lord God. Lord, I ask that You would help me convey the message that You put on my heart, Lord God, that each person would receive what it is You have for them today. Just thank You, Lord God. Pray that You're blessed and glorified in this. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Fight or Be Killed. The message I'm going to preach, it's what God put on my heart. It's kind of a hard message. I struggled putting it together. It was difficult for me. It's not something that I typically do. But I did it out of what I felt was obedient to the Lord. This message is for everyone, and everyone needs to hear it. It's for the unbeliever who doesn't know Jesus. It's for the saint. It's for the widow, the mother, the father, the brother, and yes, it's even for the pastors. In the United States, we're being conditioned to be a weak, frail people who won't accept responsibility. Each person is responsible for his or her own actions, and each person is responsible for their sin. We're becoming a weak and lazy people who most likely wouldn't fight if our life depended on it. And even if we did, most wouldn't know how. Well, guess what? Our life does depend on it, and we do need to fight. Turn to 1 Peter 5, please. At 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you." You know, praise and glory to God that if we get rid of our pride and bring ourselves low, that God will exalt us. He'll exalt us and He cares for us. Now let's look at verse 8 because that's what I want to focus on. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." This book is our instruction manual. And yet so many people don't listen to or don't follow the instructions. Because they just skip over. They read what they want to read because they think if they just read parts of it, they can get it right. Well, that's not the case. We need to take the whole counsel of God. The entire instruction booklet. Maybe sitting there thinking to yourself, what's this about? What's he talking about? Well, I'm talking about the truth in verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're in a fight. If you have an adversary, you have an opponent. if your opponent beats you, you're defeated. You've lost. In this case, we're talking about your life. And if that adversary beats you, you lose your life. He wants to destroy every single person in here. Each person, he wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to steal the word, the promises that God has given you. Each and every one of us. He wants to get us sidetracked. He wants to take our eyes off of Him. And He wants us to see our circumstances, to see the things that are going on around us, so we lose focus, so we stumble, and we fall, and that lion can come up behind us and take us down. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to grow weary, weak, tired, isolated, unguarded. The devil even wants you to grow comfortable and happy. Why? So we'll be complacent. So you won't move forward with the things of God because you're just sailing right along and everything seems okay. It's the way that we'll allow the devil to overtake us. Turn to Exodus 5:1. We've all heard this many, many, many times, and I ask you today to allow me some liberty. There's types and shadows in the Word of God. Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus. Egypt is a type and shadow of the world. Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, therefore is a type and shadow of the devil. And I'd like to look at history in this context today. In verse 1 it says, "Afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey your voice, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go, the people of God? I don't know the Lord. No, nor will I let Israel go.' The Lord is calling for your salvation today. For those who are saved by the blood of Jesus, He's calling for a closer walk with Him. There's a battle going on in the spiritual realm around us, and the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy. And if you look, Pharaoh says, who's a representation of the devil, 'I will not let you go.' We're saved by the blood of Jesus, right? Yes, we are. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Just because we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we can just walk forward and sail through life and not have to worry about anything. We need to continue to fight the good fight. Skip down to verse 4. It says, "Then the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor.' These men of God spoke to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and what does he respond with? 'Why do you take the people from their labor? Why do you take them from the busy things that they're doing? Get back to your labor. Get back to the busy things that you're caught up in this world doing. Go back to what you were used to. Just go back, go do your day-to-day stuff. You're too busy and there's too many things to do than to spend time and focus on the things that the Lord has for you." Let's go to Exodus 5. "And Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor?' So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words.'" Pharaoh saw that God was doing a work in the hearts of the people. He saw that God was calling them. He saw that God was drawing them out of Egypt. He was calling them out of this world-like system. So what did he do? He made life hard for them. He put burdens on them. He threw trouble and hard times at them to get their attention off of the words that Moses was saying, the promises that Moses was telling them that God is going to deliver you out of these things. Look at 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, "Why are you dealing thus with your servants? There's no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, 'Make brick.' And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is your own people." But he said, "The sly devil says, 'You are idle, idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Your opponent, your enemy, lies to you. He lies to you and says, 'You don't have time for that stuff. You don't have time for the Lord. You worry about this and that and your work and getting through life. You don't have time for that Jesus.'" It's a lie. And he's going to tell you that to try to steal you away. See, when you try to press in, things are going to get harder. Just do the same thing and you'll be fine. So what do these people do with the information? What do they do with these lies? They heard Moses. They heard from the man of God. They heard the promises that he gave to them. And what do they do? Look at verse 20. "Then, as they," the officers of Israel, "came out from Pharaoh," from listening to the lies of the enemy of your soul, "they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, 'Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us an abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand and kill us.'" What a bunch of ill-equipped crybabies. They heard the word of God and how God wanted to deliver them, and in one conversation, they turned from the promises of God. One lie from the enemy, one face-to-face encounter, they were too weak to stand, and they listened to that lie, and they grumble and complain, and go to these and say, "What are you doing?" But guess what? God makes these promises to them, and he makes these promises to us. The promise of salvation, the promise to be delivered from the world that holds you down and hinders you from moving forward with the things of God. Do not let your adversary steal these promises from you. Turn to Exodus 6:5, please. "Therefore, says the children of Israel," give me a second. I'm sorry. "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, says the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from the bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with great judgments." The Lord is giving them promise after promise after promise that he's going to deliver them. He's telling them, you're in a battle. They want to hold you in bondage. The world system wants to keep you. The world wants to keep you focused on him and the things of the world, so you will not move forward with the things of God. So you won't come out of the darkness and walk in light. It's a lie. It's all a lie. Turn to Exodus 12:5, please. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Lamb without spot or blemish that was slain so we may be saved. For those who don't know Jesus, you have a promise. Die to self, leave the things of this world behind, and put on the covering of the blood of Christ and you'll be saved. For those that are here today that are saved, the message is the same. Die to self. Stop playing in the world and with worldly things. Remember the saving blood that covers you and press on. You know, I said this is a battle. It's a battle. And I'll show you many places in the Bible where it says it's a battle. Turn to 1 Peter 4, please. Says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but the will of God. For we have wasted enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. We are to arm ourselves. We are to arm ourselves, it says in verse 1. Why? Because we are in a battle with our adversary. That's why. Because we are to put off the worldly desires and the old nature, and the devil is going to fight us to remind us every chance he can of our old nature, of our old selves, of the things that we used to do, the things that we used to get caught up in, the things that we used to walk in that pulled us away from God. He's going to remind us of that, and everyone around us that knows us, that knew us back then, he's going to remind them so that we look back, that we turn back, and we fall, and then we're consumed. Don't let it happen. Be ready to fight so you don't lose ground. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and walk towards Him, and don't worry about the past. Don't worry about that old man. Set your eyes upon the Lord, and He will deliver you. Let's go to 1 Samuel 31, please. I'll get there eventually. 1 Samuel 31. Saul was a man that was called by God to be set apart. He was chosen by the Lord. He was handpicked. He lost sight of the things that God had for him, and he began to mix himself with the world. Even after God had sent many people to speak the truth to him, he continued in rebellion and allowed the adversary to win the battle. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines. And they fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust it through me, lest the uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But the armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on it. How sad is this? A man that was called by God to lead, a man that was handpicked by God that said, "You are the one called to lead," watches his sons die and still doesn't understand that God is trying to get his attention. Like I said, we're all responsible for our sin. But we're also called to be a witness and a light to those around us. Saul could have told his sons that they were in sin. He could have repented way back when, and his fate would have been much different. But he continued to walk in the things of the world when he knew better. He knew God had called him out of that. And what happened? The battle became fierce against him, and his adversary, the archers, they wounded him because he had taken off the mighty armor of God, and his adversary defeated him. It's a sad place to be. All it takes is for you to get your eyes off of the Lord. To just take off that armor for just a moment. Take off that armor of God and set it aside because your eyes are focused on the world and you want to walk away just for a minute. You'll end up walking down that wrong path. You may get struck down and you may end up like Saul in a place where you have no other way out. Don't be in that place. Don't allow yourself to find yourself in that place. Turn to 1 Peter 5:9. And look at the first two words. First Peter 5:9, the first two words. It says, resist him. He's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you that you can't make it, that you're not strong enough, that you're not good enough. He's going to tell you that you're alone. No one will know. One drink's okay. No one will see. He'll turn your family against you. He'll turn your kids against you. He'll steal from you. He is a roaring lion seeking to destroy you, trying to take your eyes off of him, trying to cause you to doubt the promises that he spoke to you. Don't listen to him for a second, as the officers of Israel listened to Pharaoh, and in that one conversation turned away from the promises. Resist him. In verse 9 it says, resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whether you know the Lord or not, don't hear this message and be like King Herod, who heard the word of God and didn't respond. In Acts 12:21, Herod arrayed himself of royal apparel, sat on his throne, and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of God, not a man. He was prideful and arrogant. And he sat on his throne. He didn't turn his heart from the things of the world. He was very proud where he was. He had heard the message. He knew the truth. But he loved where he was. And in Acts 23, we learn his fate. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he didn't give glory to God and he was eaten by worms and died. This isn't what God has for you today. God has something great for each and every person here today. But you must fight the fight. You must continue to fight and don't grow weary. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to get tired, where you're going to lose strength. But there are brothers and sisters in the Lord to pick you up and dust you off. Don't be prideful or arrogant and think that you can do it on your own, that you can do it yourself, because you're going to end up just like Saul or just like Herod. You're going to end up defeated. We are family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're here to strengthen one another. God doesn't desire you to just know Him. He desires a relationship with you that you may intimately know Him. Press on. Press forward and don't look back.